Chapter 31. Saran the Black Otter kept up her vigil at the side of the huge slab of rock which had slipped and sunk into the hillside. Spingo was trapped beneath the stone in total darkness. All the Gonfalon maid could do was to keep very still. She breathed lightly, trying to conserve the small amount of air which filtered in through the thin holes Saran had bored with the sharpened branch of a beech tree. Every now and then, Spingo felt loose sandy earth sifting onto her paws. Each time it did, the unwieldy slab settled a minute fraction more. Saran called down through the narrow tube-like holes to her.
Spingo, hold on. Moles come soon from Redwall. I make another hole, give you more air, yes?
The reply came back, faint but urgent.
No, don't make any more holes, mate. You might cause a cave-in. Leave well enough alone.
The Black Otter put aside her beech branch, but continued talking in an attempt to lift the young maid's spirits. Saran said anything, in the hope of comforting Spingo.
When moles come, they have you soon out of there. Bisky said his abbey has many moles, best tickers in all the land, whole army of moles. Ha! You will drink cold water from stream, wash dust from yourself, feel good, fresh.
Spingo licked salt from her lips.
That'll be nice. Wish they'd hurry up.
Speeding downstream in the Gowsum logboat, Double suddenly backed water, drawing his paddle inboard. The sharp action caused Bisky to topple backward. He hit his head on the vessel's stern. The young mouse sat up, calling irately to his companion at what he thought was an unwarranted halt.
What do you think you're doing, mate? We're supposed to be going full speed for Redwall.
Pulling into the bank, the young shrew turned to face Bisky.
Aye, and so we are, but we'll get no place fast with you as paddling crew.
The Redwall thrust out his chin aggressively.
What's wrong with my paddling?
Double was forced to tell him in no uncertain fashion.
You're going to turn this boat over with the way you're flailing that paddle around. Listen, mate, there's an art to paddling. We're travelling downstream, see, so you let the current do most of the work. You probably heard the saying, more haste, less speed. Well, it's true. Now, do you want to get to your abbey quickly?
Bisky readied his paddle.
Of course I do. We've got to save Spingo. Go on, then. You show me what to do, and I'll try my best to help.
They pulled the craft off into midstream, with Double working the prow, calling back instructions to Bisky at the stern end.
Easy now, bucko. Watch the way I do it. Don't try to go fast. Steady does it. Lean forward, dig that paddle deep, feel the currents and go with it. Feather the paddle blade a bit to one side on the upstroke, see? Just like I'm doing.
Bisky obeyed, surprised at how the logboat glided swiftly along, picking up speed. Every once in a while, he missed the stroke, calling out,
Sorry!
Double replied,
You know, when you go marching with other beasts, sometimes they sing a song just to keep in step. Right, I'll sing you a simple shanty. The chorus is easy. It'll help you to keep your stroke.
For a young Gowson, Double had a rich baritone voice. He sang out lustily.
I come meet on a Gowson paddle. Hey, hi, ho, hey, hi, ho. Sung to it like an old duck waddle. Hey, hi, ho, hey, hi, ho. Now run that river down the flow. Where we'll anchor, I don't know. Sing, hey, hi, ho, my matey, yo. That's the Gowsum way to go. A logboat sails just like a dream. Hey, hi, ho, hey, hi, ho. On sea or river, creek or stream. Hey, hi, ho, hey, hi, ho. No room for idle pause on board. Don't scrape your keel now, mind that pausing. Hey, hi, ho, my matey, ho. You'll feel me boot if you go slow.
Had it not been for the urgency of the situation, Bisky would have enjoyed the experience greatly, but he kept his eyes on Double's every movement, concentrating his efforts on keeping a steady paddle and a smooth course.